From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai wants to disband private security companies within 4 months. Those firms pose a dilemma for U.S. and Afghan officials who'd rather see the Afghan military take charge of security. The trouble is that despite billions of dollars spent on training, the army and police just aren't ready to step up. NPR national security correspondent Rachel Martin reports that one of the reasons is that private security contractors have been poaching the best trainees.
Getting Afghan security forces to take over the fight is a key part of the current counterinsurgency strategy.
What I want to do is I want to put the first spy down there, and then we're going to do our dress rehearsal.
So this is a familiar scene around Afghanistan.
Okay, remember, weapons always at the ready. All right.
U.S. troops training Afghan security forces, often starting with the very basics. Army Sergeant Alex Hufana is part of the unit put in charge of training Afghan police along the border between Afghanistan and Uzbekistan.
What we noticed was a lot of people were pointing the weapon in different directions, and that's the first thing we immediately jumped on, safety, safety, safety.
Equally as important, making sure the men they're training feel invested in the effort, so they don't get lured over to private security firms that offer better working conditions and can pay twice as much. The Afghan police commander working with Sergeant Hufana says it's a problem, but so far he's been able to dodge it. We treat our soldiers very well, he tells me. We try to inspire them, tell them it's not about money, it's about defending this country and making it better. U.S. military officials say getting Afghans to stick around after getting trained has been a major obstacle to getting Afghan national security forces up to snuff. According to one NATO official in Kabul, attrition rates at their worst have been close to 60%. Colonel Dennis Devery is the deputy director for the group charged with developing the Afghan security forces.
Government and the coalition forces were training personnel and giving them this great experience that they were then taking and using for private security companies, and so that became a problem.
Devery says there was nothing to keep them from doing so until recently, when the government passed a new rule saying Afghans who are trained for the Army must serve at least 3 years. There's still no such mandate for police. Salaries have also gone up. Afghan National Army troops now get hazard pay for deploying to dangerous areas, and Afghan National Police got a 25% raise, bringing their salary to at least $165 every month. But Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says if you're an Afghan soldier or policeman, that's not enough.
So there you are, deployed somewhere outside your area, without adequate salary, with all kinds of temptations, of which security forces, the private contractors, are only one. You don't have adequate leave. And this goes on to the point where people don't reenlist or they simply leave.
Cordesman points out that trainees also get absorbed into local militias. But it's the private security companies that have the U.S. military concerned. Often these firms are working for the U.S. government, and hiring Afghans who were trained to serve with the Army or police undercuts the overall strategy. Colonel Dennis Devery says the U.S. and NATO need to think more strategically.
And so we've realized that there have been mistakes in the past, and we're taking a look at how contracts are done in the future and where can we use government security forces as opposed to private security companies.
Contractors need to be reined in, says Anthony Cordesman, but the bigger problem, he says, is getting Afghans to sacrifice their self-interest for the larger mission.
This is a society where no one feels secure. Everyone wants to get as much as they can, while they can. No one really knows who they can trust or who's going to be around in 2 years.
And that's the challenge, say U.S. and NATO officials, convincing Afghan security forces and civilians that there's something worth fighting for. Rachel Martin, NPR News.